This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Today, lawyers for former House Speaker Sal DeMasi and his two co-defendants began laying out the defense's argument as the corruption trial heads into its second month. The big surprise today, while the prosecution took a month to make its case, the defense could finish up in less than a week.
Possibly as early as Wednesday, meaning jurors could begin deliberations on Thursday, much sooner than originally expected.
Before resting last week, the prosecution alleged that DeMasi conspired to win multi-million dollar state deal with a Canadian software company Cognos in return for kickbacks.
WBUR's David Boeri has been covering the DeMasi trial, and he spoke to us earlier this afternoon during a break in the proceedings.
So, David, what does this mean? Do you have any sense as to why the defense wants to speed this trial up so much?
This is always a matter of conjecture. The defense is not saying, they won't say, except for the fact that government always has the burden of proof, and they're going to claim the government hasn't met its burden.
Okay. And so they're going to claim that the government hasn't met its burden. What else are they going to say in terms of actually presenting a defense of the former speaker?
This case gets to a very complicated stage now. Jury instructions are going to be key here because there's a question, what does it mean to be a public official? What are official acts? What could DeMasi be faulted for doing? And what is the nature of this law called honest services theft? That is, that the citizens are deprived of their expectation of honest services. They turn out to be very complicated questions. The law is somewhat vague. It had already been to the Supreme Court once. So it's going to be a very complicated case. And I think that the instructions in this case are going to be as important as in any case in recent history in federal court.
Mm. So, David, say a little bit more about what happened in court today and who we heard from.
The one and only witness in court today was David Driscoll. He was the commissioner of the Department of Public Education in 2006, and he was there when the two Cognos sales went through. The first one is most directly related to the Department of Education, and that was for $4.5 million. He said that, in fact, it was the Department of Education, long before DeMasi and without DeMasi, that decided to enter into negotiations with Cognos, that it was a good product. They needed that product. And what he said repeatedly, under the same question asked in various forms by the defense, is no, DeMasi never brought up Cognos to him and that he was not involved in that decision. So this is where the defense is trying to soften the prosecution line that would have the jurors believe that DeMasi was everywhere all the time, pushing hard, forcing people.
David, let me ask you about one specific in the prosecution's case. And there was some pretty damning testimony which centered on those alleged payments made to DeMasi for allegedly trying to shepherd the Cognos contract through Beacon Hill. How do you expect the defense to handle that particular part of the case?
Here is where the defense, with its first witness today, is making the case that, in fact, DeMasi did nothing wrong, and it was not his decision as to who got the contract. That's a function of the executive office, not of the House Speaker, the legislature. They're going to make the case he did nothing wrong, that lobbying is lobbying, that it might not be pretty, it might be the making of sausage seen up close, but it's not illegal what he did. There is no evidence that he directly told anybody, if you don't give us this, you're not getting that. There is no quid pro quo established, says the defense. This, in fact, Anthony, is a case based almost entirely on circumstantial evidence. And there is a lot of it, and the jurors are instructed to treat circumstantial evidence as they would any other evidence. But it is circumstantial.
Final question, David. What do we expect about whether DeMasi himself will take the stand this week or not?
Of course, the last people to talk about that would be the defense attorneys themselves. We're left to conjecture. I think that given the fact that they're now talking about closing their case on Wednesday, it would indicate DeMasi isn't going to take the stand because were he to take the stand, the prosecution would be at him and for a long period of time. Cross-examination, it said, is a lawyer's best friend. More conjecture here. If he were to take the stand, like Chuck Turner did in a recent trial, and the judge were to decide that in the process of defending himself while on the stand, he lied, the judge may, in fact, take it out on the defendant at the time of sentencing. That's what happened to Turner. Turner went to prison for a lot longer than he might have if the judge had decided that he was lying. That always is the exposure for somebody in taking the stand.
That's WBUR's David Boeri reporting from the federal courthouse in Boston. Thanks so much, David.
You're welcome, Anthony.
I appreciate it.